Hey, Grace Point family, I hope you are having a great summer. I want to welcome you to our online gathering today, and I'm so excited for us to continue our series, Dangerous Prayers. This has been a very powerful series for me personally, and I know it's ministered to many of you. As we were praying through the various themes of this series and the people who would help us unpack these themes for our church family, on this particular theme, the theme Search Me, I felt prompted to have our pastor of congregational care, Mike Wheeler, share this message with us. He does an incredible job sharing his own story and how this passage has impacted him, and I really believe you're going to be ministered to. So let's give our attention to Pastor Mike as he shares this dangerous prayer with us.
First of all, I just want to express a very sincere and deep appreciation for being invited to speak to the church. I really appreciate the pastor's willingness to trust me to come up and share a word with the church and with you folks. And when the pastor first asked me if I'd be willing to do this, I told him no. See how well that worked out for me, right? He was just telling me about the series, and he was explaining the series and about dangerous prayers, and he told me about the one that he wanted me to do, this one, Search Me. And I said, oh, gee, thanks for that one. But he just asked me just to think about it, just pray about it. And as I thought and as I prayed, this prayer really resonated with me personally. And really grateful to have an opportunity to be able to speak about this prayer to you guys this morning. And I'll share a little bit more later on how personally this prayer was affected me and was effective in my life with the Lord. I went for a bicycle ride earlier in the week. And as I was on my bike ride, the message was really awesome. So as I was pedaling down the road, I thought, I'm just going through these thoughts and these things in my mind, and things were coming out really good on the road, so I hope they come out that way here. I thought maybe I could bring up a stationary bike where I could just pedal, get some mileage in, and just talk to you guys about this kind of stuff. But dangerous prayers, you know, we've heard, make me bold. We've heard, speak to me. And if you've been willing to wade into some waters of prayer with the Lord and pray these prayers, and today we're going to talk about the prayer in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, Search Me. And before I get to the verses that we're going to talk about, I have a question for you. How is your prayer life? I want us to think about your prayer life as a continuum, that you can slide up and down, back and forth on this continuum. One end of the continuum, there may be someone who would say, prayer? What's prayer? I thought pastors and leaders and parents, I thought they were supposed to be doing all the praying for us. Somewhere on the continuum, there may be someone who says, yeah, I pray. I pray when I'm in crisis. Someone else may say, yeah, I pray for the things that I want or the things that I need. And someone else may say that I pray for the needs of others. And I'm praying for other people that I know that have circumstances in their life. We need to be on that continuum to the place on the continuum that we can get to the place where 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 tells us that we should be able to get to a point that we should be able to pray without ceasing. That our heart and that our mindset would constantly have an attitude of prayer. Not just about the things that we go through, things that, you know, Pastor talked about this morning, things that we see going on in our country, things that we see going on in the world, but to constantly have a mindset of prayer and being willing to pray and just to have that mindset. Prayer is a very vital part of the life of a Christ follower. And if I could just make it this simple, prayer can seem like it is something that is insurmountable, something that we can't really reach or attain in our own lives. How can I pray effectively? How can I really express to the Lord? Or how can I pray for the people in that I know that have needs in their lives? How can I pray for those people? But prayer is just as simple as this. It is just communicating with the Lord from our heart. And if we can develop kind of that simplistic perspective of what prayer is, maybe we could be more ready to begin to pray, and to pray more, and to move on that continuum. Everybody in this room is on a prayer continuum. You are either in a place that you're not praying, you don't feel like your prayers are effective, you don't know what to pray, you don't know how to pray, or there may be people that are just prayer warriors. But there's more movement, there's more place that we can move on that continuum in our prayer. Good communication in any relationship has two parts: talking and listening. And last week we heard from Pastor Wes about in Speak to Me, you know, when Samuel said, "Speak, I'm listening." He needed to engage the Lord in a place of not talking, not expressing himself, but to listen. And we need to be very careful to develop a listening attitude in our mind and in our heart for what the Lord would say to us in these prayers and in a communication that we have with him. If we are just talking, and this goes for really any relationship that we have, friends, spouses, kids, if we're just doing all the talking, we're really missing out on a really important and meaningful part of communication, and that is listening, to receive back from the person that we're communicating with. We need to be able to speak our hearts, speak our minds, but then to develop a heart to listen, to calm ourselves, to quiet ourselves, and listen to what the Lord would have for us. Many times in Scripture, in the New Testament, the Gospels, we read that Jesus took time for himself to get alone, to get quiet with himself so that he could communicate with the Father. We see many times that Jesus would pray for his disciples, he would pray for himself, he would pray for others, and he would do great things. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to take the time to be with his Father, how much more should we develop that desire and that willingness to put ourselves in his presence to pray and to receive from him? If you haven't already turned to Psalm 139, I encourage you to do that. Whatever form of Bible you have, if it's the old-fashioned kind, the paper kind, or if it's the newfangled kind, technology, please find Psalm 139, and we're going to read verses 23 and 24 from the New Living Translation. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." As we look at this prayer, we're going to answer some questions. The who, the when, the what, the why, and the how of this prayer. When I was thinking about who in their right mind would want to ask the Lord God, the creator of all things, that knows everything, he's sovereign, who in their right mind would want to say, "Search me. Take a look at my heart." I thought of two kinds of people that might want to pray this prayer. And the first one is a person that would want more, that they know the Lord, that they're in a relationship with the Lord, and they just feel like there's more. There's got to be more. I know there's more. I want more. So this person would go to the Lord and say, "Search me, know my heart, test me." You pray this prayer just wanting more. The next person that may pray this prayer is someone that needs more. Someone in their life, they would be looking at themselves and wondering, "What's the matter with me? Why is my marriage a wreck? Why are my relationships just fallen apart? Why do I hurt the people that I love and I care about? What is going on in my life? That this person would understand that they need more, that they need more from the Lord. They need answers to some questions. And both of these people are just at a place that they're willing to change, willing to understand where I am right now. I need change. Something's got to change. It needs to be different for my life. I really believe that this prayer should be on the to-do list of every Christ follower, because Romans 8:29 tells us that we are to be transformed more and more in the likeness of Christ. And this prayer can help us and facilitate that transformation process in our life as a Christ follower to become more like Christ. When we look at the what happens when we pray this prayer, there's a few things that happen. And when we say, search me and know me, that God, we ask God to search our heart. Our heart being our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, the things that we think, how we think, and our perspective of life. Our will, the desires that we have in our heart, expectations that we have in our heart, and our emotions, the attitudes and the reactions that we have about life circumstances, experiences that we go through, how we respond to those situations, and the attitudes that we have. Do we have a fussy attitude? Do we have a complaining attitude? Just the attitudes of our heart. When God searches our heart, He searches our heart, and He still loves us. When I search my heart, I can see things that I don't like. See things that make me look at myself and just say, man, I just don't really like you right now with how you are. But God looks at our heart and we say, you know, God, search my heart. And He loves us in spite of the things that we hold on to in our mind and our will and our emotions, our reactions, our responses. God desires through this prayer as to know us, and as we begin to recognize those things that are in our heart, God desires that our mind and our will and our emotions would begin to align with His mind, His thinking, the way He thinks, the way He responds to situations, His will and His desires. Philippians 4:8 tells us that we are to think about these things, things that are true, things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. That would be quite an accomplishment if we could go through the day and think, wow, everything that I thought about today fit in one of these words. That would be amazing. Our will. God desires that our will, the things that we desire and the expectations that we have, would align with His will for our life and for the world. Our emotions, our responses and reactions to the circumstances that we experience would actually demonstrate and reflect the attitude of Jesus. We're told in Scripture that we are to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. And in that portion of Scripture, it talked about His sacrifice, it talked about His service, it talked about His willingness to lay down everything that He was, to take on the flesh of man, and for a purpose other than just being God. Wants our emotions to really reflect His and how He would respond and react to situations in our lives. Another what that happens when we pray this prayer is that our fears are revealed. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God does not want us to walk in fear. There's a quote from a movie, Facing the Giants. I don't know if you've seen that movie. And at the end of the movie, he was actually the coach of University of Georgia. He walks in and he's given, you know, kind of his pep talk to the coach and talking about how afraid he was about the game. And the quote is that there are 365 times in the Bible it says, do not be afraid. I looked it up online and confirmed, because everything that we can find online is true, right? That there is 365 times in the Bible that it says, do not be afraid. I'll let you do the math. That is one promise, do not be afraid, for every day of every year of our life. How amazing is that? How cool is that, that God just orchestrated that? One of those such fears can be fear of snakes. I think somebody just kind of shuddered where they sit. Slim Jim was the name of a snake that belonged to our son Luke. And Slim Jim was about 2.5 foot long rat snake. And Luke loved Slim Jim, and Slim Jim loved Luke. Well, one day, Slim Jim was AWOL in our home. He was not in his enclosure where he was supposed to be. And our oldest daughter, Mandy, we told all the kids, they said, hey, just let you know, Slim Jim is lost. We need help finding him. Come and help find him. Mandy, our oldest daughter, said, I'm not coming to your house. And there's no way I'm sleeping in your house if there is a snake that is loose in your house. Just not going to happen. I don't even know if Mandy right now would be willing to say, Lord, test my anxious thoughts about how I feel about snakes. Well, Slim Jim was AWOL for about 3 or 4 months in our house. I looked everywhere. Yeah, I looked. Nobody else was going to help me look for that snake. I looked everywhere in that house, could not find that snake. Well, Luke was away at college, and when he came home, he brought his stuff, and his clothes and his beddings and stuff, and he just kind of left it lay on the floor for a little while, and I said, hey, it's about time for you to pick up this stuff. And I was upstairs in the house, and he was downstairs beginning to take care of his stuff, and he said, I found it. I'm thinking, what did you find? Found Slim Jim. Slim Jim had recognized Luke's smell in the house, came out from wherever he was, and crawled up inside Luke's stuff. They loved each other. So, we found Slim Jim for a while. Slim Jim went AWOL when the boys moved out of the house, so we have no idea where Slim Jim is now. But he's not AWOL in my house. That's maybe a fun way to look at fear. And I do know that fear that people experience in their life can be very debilitating. It can be paralyzing in our lives. I've heard that not all fear is bad. And I've experienced that in my own life of being a police officer, that there are calls and situations that I went to that I was afraid, I didn't want to go. But as a duty and responsibility I had as an officer, you go. And I remember many times that I was driving in my police car, driving fast to get somewhere where anybody in their right mind would be driving as fast or faster the other direction to get away from the situation that I'm driving to. And fear can be used in a way of risk management, of just evaluating, yeah, I'm uncomfortable, yeah, I'm kind of afraid, it's unknown what I'm getting into, but to still move forward into that fear and to evaluate and make sure that things can be safe and that you can do things safely even within that fear. And sometimes we have to do things afraid. The fears that we're talking about here in the scripture are more about the fears that hinder us and that can actually cripple us from experiencing the good that God has for us and the freedom that He has for us in our life, that we wouldn't have to walk in fear. God does not want us to walk in any fear in our lives about any situation. And whatever those fears you may be facing, be willing to trust God and say, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, reveal to me where I'm afraid, why I'm afraid, and reconcile those and bring me to a place of freedom from that fear." Another what is to deal with the sinful patterns in our lives. Through the salvation that we have by accepting Christ and what He did for us on the cross, the power of sin in our lives is broken. It does not have that hold on us any longer. That we can be free from that power. We don't have to sin anymore. He's given us the power to walk in the freedom from the power of sin. Romans 6 talks about what Christ did for us on the cross. And specifically in verse 7 of Romans 6, it says that we have been set free from the power of sin. It's broken in our lives. We just need to trust God in that power, that it is truly broken in our lives, that we don't have to, we're not a slave to that anymore, that we are a slave to what Christ has given to us through the work of the cross, that we are a bond service, we're bond servant, we're connected to Him in a bond through salvation. To stop sinful patterns in our lives, we need to first repent. And that means just to, this is my life of sin. I'm turning, I'm repenting, and I'm changing my direction, changing my perspective. There's a change in direction through repentance. But repentance is the first step in that. Because we can say, okay, this is my sinful life. I'm going to repent from my sinful life. I am going to turn, I'm going to repent. And I have a new perspective, I have new desires in my heart to live for the Lord and to get out of sin. The next thing that needs to happen in our lives is the fruit of repentance that actually demonstrates movement in a change of direction. And that fruit of repentance will be reflected in our actions, our thoughts, our desires, all of these things. We repent, and then there is fruit of repentance. There is an evidence of change in our behavior to stop those sinful patterns. I want to go back to the first two words of this prayer, "Search me." I want to focus on that for just a moment. God searches differently than we do. When we search our lives, if we were to try to accomplish this prayer in our lives, and that we would search ourselves, that we would test our anxious thoughts, that we would examine our own sinful patterns, and realize I need to change. I was thinking about how in police work, sorry about so many police references, but I was a police officer for a long time. And for 15 years, I worked midnight shift. So I worked at night, worked in the darkness, and a couple of tools I used to do searches was a flashlight. Carried a flashlight wherever I go. It was in my car. If I got out of that car, that flashlight was with me. No matter where I went, what I did, that flashlight was with me. I was able to do searches with a flashlight, and even, you know, in the car we have a spotlight, and we would light up, you know, areas looking for things, doing our searches for things. The flashlight and the spotlight were effective to a certain degree. Even in using a flashlight, it would create shadows, and it would not reveal everything. So we had to be careful in doing these searches of being really careful, make sure that we would get the light from a flashlight in a place that, you know, was an area that wouldn't necessarily be illuminated, to do an effective search. When God searches our heart, He uses a searchlight. It's huge. And I pictured one of those searchlights that they use to advertise, you know, Main Event, those big ones, you know, that are 5 or 6 feet in diameter, and is a pillar of light that goes into the sky. And that when God puts that searchlight on your heart, there is nothing that can be hidden from Him. Not that we would want anything to be hidden from Him, but He just reveals everything. And even when everything is revealed, He still loves us. That's an amazing thought. The how of this prayer. Psalm 139, the first 22 verses of that psalm, 1 through 22, God already knows all the stuff in the prayer. Let's look at some verses there, back in verse 1, 1 through 4. You have searched me and you know me. So it's already been done. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You already know my thoughts. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. So He already knows all the stuff that we need to pray. Why do we need to pray this prayer? I believe it is by invitation. God does not want to impose His will, even His good desires, on us. We have to want it. And when we want it, we will give Him an invitation. Search me. Test me. Change me. It is by that invitation we can be the person that wants more. We can be the person that needs more. It's still by that invitation. God, I invite you to search me and to know me and to change me. Another how, something that happens in this prayer, is that when we pray this prayer, God doesn't say, man, I got you now. Thanks for asking me to reveal everything about you to yourself, just so you can see everything that I know about you. I'm going to crush you. I'm going to run you down. No, He does it with absolute care and love. Hebrews 13, verse 5 tells us, the writer of Hebrews is remembering words that he received from the Lord that said that never will He leave you, never will I forsake you. God is saying that I will never leave you alone. Matthew 12, verse 20 is speaking about Jesus, and He says, a bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. God does this with care. And I was reminded also of when in the book of John, chapters 14 through 17, it's really amazing passages, because Jesus is talking to His disciples and He's giving the last bits of teaching and instruction to the disciples. And part of that, He's telling the disciples, I've got to go away. And I must go away, because if I don't go away, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. I can't give you the comforter and the counselor, the one that will come alongside you, shoulder up with you, and lead you into all truth. He said, I've got to do this. So Jesus is saying, I'm never going to leave you alone. I'm never going to bring you to the point of absolutely just breaking you, because I love you. I care for you, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when we pray this prayer, we're going to be met with not that crushing sense of God's heaviness and His knowingness and all that God is to just bear us down because of our own lives. We're going to be met with a loving kindness, a tender mercy, and a grace that is sufficient for us as we walk through praying this prayer. And ultimately, it is for our good. It is for our good. The why of the verse is the last part of that verse. Lead me on a path of everlasting life. In John chapter 15, Jesus talking about when the illustration that he is the vine, we are the branches, and that God is the gardener, that he is the husbandman that's going to do some pruning. When we abide in the vine, when we abide with Christ, those things that are part of Christ begin to flow through the vines, us. And God's desire in pruning us through this prayer, search me, know me, test me, help me to stop my sinful ways, lead me in the everlasting path, wanting us to have a fruitful life. Now, Galatians 5:22 lists the fruit that we are supposed to have in our lives. We've all heard this passage of Scripture. And if the Good News guys don't have a video for this, I'm sure they do, one might be coming. We could all sing one of the child tunes to this passage of Scripture. It just lists the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What kind of fruit is being evident when your life is squeezed? What fruit juice is evident in your life? Is it going to be love and joy, peace? Is it going to be the fruit of the Spirit? If we are just living our life with the hope of the everlasting life to come, we're missing out. We're missing out on the way everlasting, what God wants us to experience right now, of being able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and to live in the way everlasting. I should have warned you earlier. I thought things were going pretty good. I have been accused of being a crybaby. Can get a little emotional. I don't mean to be. I'm praying for God to kind of make me hang in there. I hope you can handle a little transparency this morning. And it's about my life in the context of this prayer. There was a time in my life that I was wanting more. I really felt there was more. I wanted more in my relationship with the Lord. My life at the time, it was awesome. It was great. I had a beautiful wife. Still do. Give me a wave, babe. I'll probably pay for that later, but it's okay. Beautiful wife, had a career. Back up to the wife. She's a faithful wife. Faithful in prayer. Faithful to me. As she prayed for me in the process of this prayer in my life. We had two of our five kids, so life was really good. And when I pray the prayer, I'm thinking I'm just the want more guy. When God began to answer the question, search me and know me and test me and check those sinful patterns in your life, I really found out I was the need more guy. I needed some of these things to be reconciled in my life. And in searching and in recognizing the things of my life, and this is where I want to go a little bit deep. Some of you may know a little bit about my story. I have an older brother and two older sisters, and I was the youngest of the four. And our mom suffered with mental illness, and she just had a tough go. She was in the hospital, and out of the hospital, and life was hard for her because of those circumstances. And because of those circumstances, life became hard for us. There were things that happened that caused hurt. There were things that caused separation with our family. You know, my dad was working and my mom was in and out of the hospital. And so with four kids, you know, what do you do? And so I went with one of my mom's brothers, and my older brother went with a different uncle, and my sisters went with some family friends. So we were separated. And then through the course of time that, you know, my mom, it was tough. And she ended up taking her own life. And I was just about three when that happened. So, you know, being a young little boy, just going through all of these experiences, and I really want to keep it in the context of this prayer, that I thought that I was just going through life and, you know, things were good, and I was just wanting more of God. And what I'd realized is that in my life, as I was walking through life, that I was carrying these bags. And as life happened, sin happened, and the loss happened, and the separation, and the hurt, all these things that, you know, I was kind of, if you could just picture, you know, having a bag in each hand, a bag under each arm, you throw a bag over your shoulder, that I was pretty heavy with stuff. Was it my fault? Outside of my control? There were things that were within my control. Those sinful patterns that we talked about, there were mistakes that were made, absolutely. But all of this stuff just got heavy in life. And when I was just asking God, I want more, and he said, well, you actually need more. And here, by the way, all that stuff from your life, let me take that. You don't need to carry that. That's what I came to do. So when I prayed that prayer and went through that process, it was not easy. It was hard. There were times that I can remember sitting in our driveway, and Shelly and I had just gotten back from meeting our counselor. I felt like I was broken. I felt like the tears would never stop. Because God was relieving and releasing the weight of all the stuff. Again, outside of my control, not my fault. But I still had carried it. It had affected me. It had affected our marriage. It had affected my attitude of things. But of just getting to the place of saying, okay, you can take it. It was in the course of that prayer, praying that prayer, that I came to know the love of my Heavenly Father, the way that he wanted me to know him. It absolutely changed my life. So in closing, I'm not going to challenge you to pray this prayer, this dangerous prayer, search me. Because the word challenge to me implies something that will be difficult, something that will be, may or may not even be accomplished. But I invite you to give God the invitation in your life to take a look and to make some things right in your life.
Thank you, Mike, for sharing your heart with us. And I've been touched as you shared God's truth with us today. And I hope that all of you have found meaning in these words that were shared with us today from Scripture. And I hope that you will join me right now in accepting this invitation to ask God to search our hearts. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful that you look at us and you see beneath the surface, you see to the very depths of our heart. And while in some instances that might seem scary to us, we don't pray this prayer in fear with you, because we know that you look at us with eyes of love and grace and compassion. And we pray that as we ask you to search our hearts and to help us identify anything that your Spirit needs to deal with, that we would come to you with excitement and expectation, and knowing that your arms of unconditional love are wrapped around us, and that you allow your Spirit to work in us to help us become all that you have designed us to be. So God, we ask that you would speak to us today throughout this week. Help us be sensitive to your Spirit as we continue to pray this prayer, God, search me. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to praying this prayer throughout the week, and I am looking forward to next weekend when we'll be able to gather again as we continue our series, Dangerous Prayers.